opportunity to thank Bruce and Julie Freed, who are sponsoring our refreshments in honor of the twins' birthday. We won't count how many years old they are, because that's the topic of this year. But suffice it to say, they're not one. They're not two. Okay, anyway, we had a little bit of a hiatus just because of the way the different weeks worked out. But it's good to be back, and even though it's going to be very close to Shavuos, but my plan, Yemir Tzah Hashem, is to give a shiur next Thursday. If something would come up, just check the email for any cancellations, but my hope, Yemir Tzah Hashem, is to be able to give a shiur. So starting with Parshas Bamidbar, Sefer Bamidbar, we begin reading this week. The opening few psukim of our Parsha, as is well known to all of you, begins with a census that once again Hashem wants the Jewish people to take. V'yedaber Hashem al Moshe, Bamidbar Sinai, Olam Moed, Hashem tells Moshe at this auspicious time and place, Bechel Chodesh, Hasheni, B'shan Hasheni, Sesei Semer Mitzrayim, we're now in the second year since they left Mitzrayim. Lamor saying, Su'u es Rosh Kol Hadas Ben Yisrael, you should count the heads of the people of Israel, the Mishpachosam, based on their families, based on Osam, and the bigger families. Mizbar Shemos Kol Zachar, Ligal Golosam, you should count all of the males in terms of what's called a Gilgal, which is really what we call like a head count. The Ben Esrim Shana L'mala, as we all know, that we counted for the official census, only males above the age of 20, U'mala, Kol Yotzei Tzva B'Yisrael, which were those who were going to go out to battle, Tifkiduosam, Tzvosam, At Avaharon, you and Aaron, will count them and establish this census. Rashi, in a very well-known comment, wonders, why is it that we're counting them again? Didn't we just count them? It's barely a year since they counted them again previously. So Rashi tells us from Chazal, the famous comment, Mitoch chibosan lefon of mone osam kol shah. You know, you love them so much, Hashem wants to count them again. And the mashal that always struck me, which for some people is not such a great, is not such a distant mashal, is, you know, certain people love their money, they're always counting their money. And that reflects another famous Rashi, which Rabbi Spence, I think, is you're not referring to. He's just like, okay. Well, I would say the famous Rashi with Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven, right, where there's a shift in the language about why is it that they're staying, they want to stay in Eber HaYarden. So they talk about it's good for their cattle, and it's good for their children. And when Moshe tells them it's okay, he says it'll be good for your children and good for your cattle. And Rashi makes the famous comment that there are some people for whom money is more important than chinuch, and Moshe suspected them of that. And therefore he was telling them, chinuch habonim should be more important than parnasa. So that marshal is an apt one, I think, here as well. That, you know, sometimes we love somebody or something so much, so one of the ways we demonstrate that, consciously or otherwise, is we're so focused on it, we always want to, you know, how much do I have, how much do I have, how much do I have? So in that sense, Rashi says, very well-known comments, that Hashem was counting the Jewish people once again, because he just loved them so much, he loved us so much, he needed to count. Just parenthetically, before we get into the halachos, the Ramban here actually gives two or three other reasons, other explanations for why Dafka now there's another census. For example, one thing that Ramban mentions is that this is a way of demonstrating the great compassion and blessing that Hashem gave to the Jewish people. After all, we see, as we will see in the census, how great they multiplied. And we put that in contrast with where they were just a short while before, and that will show the great blessing that Hashem has given the Jewish people. That's one. A second one, which is very intriguing, and I think we'll probably take more Ion in a Parshanut perspective, which we'll not do, but a second explanation that the Ramban offers implies, again, it's not hard for me to believe, that's why I think it would need a little bit more Ion, but it implies that there would almost be a personal relationship established by Moshe and or Aaron through the census, as if they had to, you know, go knock on each tent, okay, how many men are here? And, you know, so in theory, they're just taking the census, writing down the information. Once they're there, Mestama, they'll ask, Nu, how you doing? What's your Mishpacha like? How's Parnassah going? Or you have an opportunity. Moshe's coming to the tent. I can say hello to him. And all of a sudden, this is a way of being mechazik, the relationship between the leaders and the people. So, very interesting. Again, as well known as Rashi's explanation, but again, clearly bothered by the same issue that Rashi was bothered by, which is, what's the need for a count now? Rashi and Pasuk Beis, on the final word of Legil Golosam, this idea of a census, Rashi tells us, how did they do this count now in the second year? Al Yedei Shekolim Beka Legil Golos. Each head had to give the half a shekel. Where does Rashi know this from? Nowhere in our parsha. Rashi assumes it. Why is Rashi assume it? Of course, because of the initial census and the famous Parsha in Kisisa, where the initial census takes place in the aftermath of the Akedah, where they're told that they'll each use a Machzor HaShekel, and there the Pesukim stress this idea of the Machzor HaShekel being given, not only for the upkeep of the Mishkan, but in so doing also being a kapara for the Cheta Egel. So Rashi just assumes, and it's certainly a good assumption, and Mistama, presumably, that's how that counted here as well. It is worth noting, however, that two of the Gedolei Achronim on Chumash actually disagree. Both the Gra and his Adaras Elio on our Parsha, as well as the Hamek Dover later in Perak Beis, and again, not I'm sorry, the Netziv in the Hamek Dover, not always, but as you know, he's part of the larger Groz based Medrash, so it's not entirely surprising. They both hold that it wasn't via Shekel, but rather, after all, it's the same thing down in our Parsha, rather they took a list, they went to each tent, they wrote down a list. They weren't counting them, they were just getting the names. Gottlieb, Terrigan, you know, Reiner. Then, when they finished the list, then they counted up how many people they have. And then they weren't counting people. They were counting names. They were counting a piece of paper. Counting lines on the sheet. And they assumed that's how the count was. Either way, and this is the segue into the halakhic part of the shir, either way, yehei mash yehei, whether they were counting names on a list, or they were counting half shekel pieces, either way, all the mafarshim agree here, there was an indirect count. That it was not a literal head count the way you would more naturally take a count. And that's really the issue that I want to discuss from a halachic, and again, this is the type of halacha which is not our typical type of thing we discuss. Like, by definition, we're in quasi-mystical and quasi-ashkafic arena, but there seems to be a halacha here as well, and this is the notion of the natural isser of counting Jews and indirect ways of getting around that prohibition. So just to confirm the taka, there does seem to be a bona fide isser. I didn't bring the lashon in front of me, and I'll take the time to read it now. But if you take a look at the Rambam, and Hilchos Tamidim u'Musafim, Perek Dalet, Halacha Dalet, says the Beirush, echoing comments of the Gemara, which I want to read to you momentarily, where the Gemara says, and the Rambam echoes this pretty directly, is isser yeshba. There's an isser, prohibition to count Jews directly. Rather, you should count them in some indirect way, such as using a coin, or we'll see perhaps other methods. It's interesting that some of the Achronim, Sridi Eish, has a tshuva, the Be'er Sheva, in his commentary in the beginning of Masechta Tamid, asked the question, if we have Gemaras, which we'll see, we have famous Pesukim and Parshios in Chumash, and we have a Rambam, and everyone agrees that there's this prohibition of counting, and we have Pesukim in the Chumash, whether it's Bamidbar or Parshas Kisisa, we definitely have Pesukim in the Chumash. How come, he says, how come they ask, it seems that none of the Moni HaMitzvos, in our tradition, we know we have great Rishonim and even some Achronim who took the responsibility of tabulating what are the Taryag, what are the 613. None of them count this Isser of counting, no pun intended, counting Jews as one of the 613. Now, they dug up that there is, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, he was on the cusp in that transition generation of Rishonim Achronim, the Sefer HaCharedim, who lived in Sfat, if I'm not mistaken, I think he was a contemporary of Rabbi Yosef Karo. So he was one of the later Moni HaMitzvos. So he seems to taka included. But with all the respect to Mr. HaCharedim, perhaps related to Hanina's friend, I don't know. We had a HaCharedim who was living in Greenspring for many years, and now with Baltimore as a chassan. So the Chvoda, we will mention the Sefer HaCharedim. But with all due respect to the Sefer HaCharedim, that's not the Rambam, that's not the Bahag, that's not the Ramban. That's not from the Gedolei Rishonim and Moni Mitzvos for us. Why is it? Why is it, the Sridi Esh asks and others ask? How come none of them counted this Isser if it seems to be, in fact, that? So there's different answers that are given, just to mention a few of them. So some, for example, say, like the Jews may have been in Echanami, there's a Lashon of Isser used, but it doesn't really mean Isser. It's vague, it's ambiguous. What it really means is it's a Midas HaChassidus. It's a nice thing to do. It's the right thing to do, but it's not a bona fide prohibition, and therefore it wasn't counted. Or others say perhaps, even though they're Pesukim in Torah that clearly allude to this, as we will see in a moment or two when we get to the Gemaras, that there's really more explicit Pesukim in Tanakh that discuss, not so much stating that Isser, Tanakh doesn't do things like that, but telling stories where we have people, like David HaMelech most notably, seemingly making a mistake and getting punished for not counting indirectly, rather counting directly, and therefore we infer the prohibition. That's the real bona fide source. Not Matzah Shekel, not our Parsha Bamidbar. And therefore, if Navi is the source, what is that called? Not Midaraisa, not Midrabana, but Midivrei Kabbalah. Midivrei Kabbalah is a supercharged Dirabanan, but a Dirabanan it is. It does not get counted in the Taryag. And others finally say, I saw a Sefer, Rav Asher Weiss quoted a Sefer called Divrei Emes. I admit that I don't know who that is. The Divrei Emes, says Rav Asher Weiss, he says, really, because it is counted memela, namely, it's a lav haba mechlal asei. The asei is the matzah shekel. Matzah shekel is the mitzvah. Once we have that asei, so as we sometimes have, we back into, it's a lav haba mechlal asei, we back into the negative prohibition because of the primary stress being the positive obligation and commandment to count via shekel. The matzah shekel is counted. The fact that there's a prohibition is not a prohibition per se. It's the fact that you didn't fulfill the asay of shekel. And shekel is counted, and therefore that may be a reason. One way or the other, it's not counted, as I said, other than the Sefer Haredim, with all due respect. And one of those explanations, perhaps there's some other out there, it would have to suffice. Where does this take some more firm halakhic grounding? So there are two well-known Gemaras that discuss this issue. Let's start with the Gemara in Masech Yuma, and if I can find it quickly, I'll try to read it a little bit for you. The Gemara in Yuma on Daf Chaf Beis Amud Beis is discussing the famous pice. Happens to be, I'm doing Mishnah's Yuma with my son now, taka right up to this Mishnah. And the Mishnah spoke about the fact that when you have a rotation of Kohanim, this is the family, not, you know, the Beis Av that's on deck, you know, on call, I should say, for the week. So many of the functions in the Beis HaMikdash, there was no predetermined way of you do this and you do that. The Mishnah says that in the beginning, as long as it got done, we didn't care. So if one guy wanted to sleep a little bit late that day, that's fine. As long as one of his brothers got up early to the Trumas Hadash, we didn't really care who. Sometimes Mishnah says, so many people were energetic, two people wanted to do it. So, survival of the fittest. We said, whoever came first wins. They had a race. However, the Mishnah says eventually that changed because people got hurt. You got people running around the Beis HaMikdash. Right? Either they're going to get hurt or someone's going to get broken. Right? There's just, and imagine your mother with like kids playing in the living room. Like, it's just, it couldn't work. It's like, it's hard to imagine how they thought this was going to work. Like, the Maskan is a lot better than the Havamina. Lamaisa, but even before that fact, says the Mishnah, what happens if you have, when they were racing, the race in the Deshin. I mean, you could see 20th century marketing, you know, how they would do this, you know. Race for the cup. The cup being, of course, your wife first. 21st century now, that's okay. Anyway, so what happens if there was a tie? Wouldn't you know it, right? No videotape for Warner Wolves to go to. No, and, you know, it's like baseball. There's no instant replay yet. So how would they determine what to do? It looked like a tie. Is it really a tie? If they could use film, maybe someone would. But it looked like a tie to the naked eye. So the Mishnah says, then the two of them are canceled out. And then we take the whole Beis Av, the whole on-call group of Kohanim, and they had a very interesting mechanism, says the Mishnah. We take them all in a circle. We take off one guy, randomly, frankly. One guy takes off a hat. And that's just the way we determine we're going to start from you. And then we tell each person, this is based on the Mepharshim, put out, this is like rock, you know, paper, how does it go? Put out one or two fingers. That's the Mepharshim point out. It's not the Mishnah, right? Exactly. Finger baseball. Right? One or two, and then you keep it. So then we went. Then the Kohen in charge, the Mamuna, as it's now the administrator really of the Beis HaMikdash, he would make up a totally arbitrary number, but one which was certainly far higher than the number of Kohanim in the circle around him. 100! 124! He'd start with the guy who had the hat off, and he'd start counting fingers, whether it be one or two, depending on how much they put. He'd keep them around and around and around they go. It's not a birthday game. Around and around and around you go. And whichever one landed on that number, he's the one who got to do the same. Right? That's the somewhat convoluted, surprising, and creative system. Huh? Don't ask me, Akasha. Anyway, that's the Lamaisa. So the Gemara, in light of that Mishnah, I understand. The Gemara, in light of that Mishnah, says the following. No! I'm looking at Rosh Hashanah. You got me Rosh Hashanah and a Yuma, two for the price of one, Alan. Thank you. That's like, you know, the Bar Mitzvah kid who lame perfectly, but he was on the wrong parsha. So I was looking inside the whole time I gave you that summary, but clearly I wasn't reading anything. That's embarrassing. I'm sorry about that. So the Mishnah now here, top of the page, the Gemara says based on that Mishnah that they put out their hands. So the Gemara asks the obvious question. This is ridiculous. V'nimninhu lididhu. Why are you counting thumbs and fingers and toes and pinkies? Count the people. Gemara answers no. Masailat Rabbi Yitzchak. This is a support for Rabbi Yitzchak. D'amar Rabbi Yitzchak, because Rabbi Yitzchak said, Aser, again, note the language, Aser, Livnos, Es Yisrael, Afilu Lidvar Mitzvah. Even when you're doing it for not arbitrary purposes, or to pick up teams on the game, in the ball field, you're doing it for a mitzvah, to figure out who's going to do the Chumash Hadashin, or whatever, in the Mitzvah Mikdash. It's still Aser to count Jews. The Chsiv, and here a Pasuk is quoted interestingly, V'yif Kedem Babazek. This is a story in Shmuel Beis, which we'll get to, Alan, but that's from Brachos. But in Yuma, the Gemara talks about a story in Shmuel Aleph. These are various stories that the Gemara quotes from Shaul HaMelech and his various military skirmishes. He would, at various points, either before or after the battle, he needed to take a census, figure out how many soldiers he had, and instead of counting them, they would throw their shield or something like that into the middle, and he would count the shields. Oh, so he says, Rabbi Yitzchak, how come he didn't just count the soldiers? Because Osir Limnos, it's Osir to count people themselves, we have to count some other object. And that is supported by the notion, again, in confidence with the notion in the Mishnah, that they didn't count the people, they counted the thumbs, the fingers, and the toes. Rabbi Lozer says, Kalamon Es Yisrael, just strengthening the point, over Balav. And again, if you do count, you violate an Isser. But again, interestingly, again, what Pasuk is quoted? Not the same Pasuk, but also from Navi, from the Navi Hoshea, which, if I'm not mistaken, is actually the Haftarah we'll read, Yemes Hashem, the Shabbos. Nemar, the Pasuk says, V'hayim Mitzvah B'nei Yisrael, Kichol Hayam, Asher Lo Yimad. We will be like the sands of the sea, which cannot be measured. And again, I don't think that's Pasuk John the Navi, but as the Gemara understands it, it means not that you cannot be counted descriptively, but rather prescriptively. They shouldn't, thou shalt not count. And then finally, the Gemara concludes. Now, Amar Yitzchak says, "Hey, you stopped too soon." The pasuk continues, "Amar over b'shnei lavin." There's two averes; he'll be over because the pasuk continues. It doesn't just say lo yimad, but then it then says lo yisafer. You're not supposed to count. So it says, "Don't measure, don't count." Two averes you're in violation of. And that's the Gemara in Masechet Yuma, based on the Mishnah about the Kohanim and the pious. Gemara in Brachos. The other well-known Gemara on this topic. The Gemara Brachos Daf Samach Beis Amid Beis. Discusses here, it's very, very brief Gemara. The context is when Shaul HaMelech, as we know, when he was running after David, different points, David had an opportunity to kill him. David didn't, and one of the times, famously in the Mara, right, he slashed his cape. And in a very provocative statement afterwards, David basically says, you know what, if for whatever reason Hashem has angered you, Shaul, to go after me, this rachmonis that I'm having on you, that should be, so to speak, like a kapara. So, commenting on this pasuk, and the pasuk that David had said was, Im Hashem, he siticha bo, me. If somehow Hashem has been like a mesis, has been incited against me, this should somehow be like a mincha, like a kapara to me. Amar Rebbe Lazar, Amar Le'akadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem got upset at David for how cavalierly he spoke, and then how somehow he referred to Hashem inciting Shaul, which certainly Lashon HaKodesh does not have a positive connotation. And therefore Hashem says, you want me to be an inciter? You got it. I'll do something else. Amar Le'Kadosh Baruch Hu LeDavid, Mesis, Taka, currently you called me a Mesis, therefore I'll be one. Hari Ani, Mashlichacha, V'Dover, Shafilu Tinoko, Shabbos Rabin, so. I will incite you, I'll trip you up on something so obvious and so embarrassing, even little kids in elementary school. No, you can't do it. Namely, the Chsiv, and here the Gemara quotes the Pasuk in, Kisisa Rosh Bnei Israel of Kudehem Venosnu Ish Kofir Nasho. And yet what happened instead? as we're told both in the Pesukim of Shmuel Beis as well as the parallel Pesukim the Gemara quotes from Dibur HaYamim. Nevertheless, David did make a mistake, and he did count the people without some intermediary, without the coins. And as a result of that, the Pesukim tell us, as the Gemara quotes, Kaven did Maninhu Lo Shakuminayo Kofer. He counted them directly, head counts. He didn't count them through some intermediary like a shekel. And therefore, as a result of that, there was this terrible plague. V'yitein Hashem Devar B'nei Yisrael. There was a terrible plague for the Jewish people. Me'aboker V'ad Eitz Moed. It went, almost indefinitely, this terrible plague killing out such large chunks of the Jewish people. So here you have a second Gemara, which has another story in Tanakh, coincidentally also from Shmuel, but here's from Shmuel Beis, about David, not Shaul, making the mistake and the dire consequences of a plague, and the Pasuk, which is quoted in this context, is of course the Pasuk of Kisisa. Now, just as an aside, I don't want to dwell on it, but it is interesting to me, and I really don't understand it, which is why I want to share it with you, because perhaps someone will help me understand it. First of all, you should know that Rashi in Kisisa and the Rambam in the Parashat Mishnayis and Yuma both quote the story of David as being like the key story to learn from, the key mistake that's almost like the real source of it. But what's interesting is if you take a look at Mefarshei Chumash and our Parsha, you have a chance over Shabbos, the Ramban, for example, in Pasuk Gimel, they're very bothered. It really starts off with the Ramban and goes right there from that. How could it be that David HaMelech made such a mistake? After all, as the Gemara says, Tinok Mishal Mishnah, and everyone knows you can't count Jews. So David HaMelech made such a mistake, says the Ramban, and even if you'll tell me that somehow Hashem intervened, as the Gemara seems to imply, and supernaturally made David forget. What about David's general and David's assistants? They all knew the halacha. How could it happen? How you talking? So there's various answers that are given. For example, some say, and this is something I want to get back to, this is actually the important answer in the bigger picture, some say that Ein Chenami, David counted by a shekel. He did. What was his mistake? He counted for no good reason. He was only counting to take a look. There was no reason to count. He was counting because he wanted to feel good about how many citizens he had in his country. And therefore, since he counted the right way, he counted for the wrong reason. And if you're counting for the wrong reason, then it doesn't matter how you count, it's always problematic. That's one answer that's mentioned, which I will get back to. But other answers that are suggested are, for example, if you take a look at the Navi there, he counted. Good. Okay, so hold that thought, Joey. Hold that thought. Good. Ramban says, perhaps you take a look there, David HaMelech counted people from the age of 13. So, say, he suggests, perhaps he thought that the Isser that required a shekel or something was only counting from 20. But I'm counting from 13. Maybe there's no problem. Maybe that was his mistake. Or who knows what. Another example, another suggestion is made is maybe David HaMelech thought that the Pasuk was only at that one moment in time. Not Lazarus. So, if any of these work for you, I would say take it. My only question, if you will, is to the extent that one would be bothered, how could Doug make a mistake? So, unless I'm missing something, every one of the answers I just told you included an assumption that David made a mistake. It just gives a different mistake. He didn't make the mistake that you can't count. He made the mistake that he thought that the Israel only applied in one time, it really applied always. He didn't make a mistake that you can't count. He made a mistake that he thought it didn't apply after 13. He didn't make a mistake. It still starts with the puzzle. Your answer might start with, he didn't make a mistake. But by the time you finish the sentence, it still ends with, but he did make a mistake. So I'm not sure why you're so bothered by it. Everyone's human, including David HaMelech. We know of other affairs that he did. And second of all, more to the point, even if you think, no, it's impossible that he did have an error, made a mistake, I'm not sure what you've gained by the different answers that are given. So that just bothers me. So if anyone has a thought now, I'm happy to hear it, or if you just take a look at
the more, it's a more subtle.
I guess, that's what I was thinking too, but to me there's like too much energy being expended for that being the only answer. But I hear you, maybe you have to say something like that. I don't know. The question didn't bother me so much, but once I saw the question, I was hoping for a better answer.
Crime doesn't deserve the punishment.
Except for the fact that we have Makoros, going back to Chazal, going back to the Chumash, that the you're playing with fire. You're playing with fire. You'll ask me why. You ask me why this Avera is so Masuka, and so there you have to take a look at different types of Makoros that we're discussing tonight. But there's definitely no question about it. That's certainly the elephant in the room, so to speak, which is whatever the issur is, but why is there such a terrible punishment to go across with it? And that's not something that I'm really addressing, although there are certainly are mafarshim that do discuss that. So I want to mention a few halachic issues that come out of this discussion, and let's start with the juxtaposition of the Gemaras, and in particular, which psukim they use from Tanakh as their source. And let's begin with a question that a lot of mafarshim deal with, which really starts off with the Marsha. The Marsha in Yuma asks a question which, like, after him, everyone who wants to talk about this topic discusses. I'll quote the Marsha. And he wants to know the most basic question. We learn Chumash, right? We're not yeshiva boys. We also learn Chumash. Not just Gemara. We learn Chumash. So we know, well, now, we didn't know Tanakh, but when the Gemara quoted the Tanakh stories as the source of the Isser, Ushala Melech, so, Taka, there's a story in Tanakh. One second, we do Shnayim Mikra, we know Chumash. Says the Marsha, why didn't the Gemara take the most obvious source, the original census of Moshe in Sefer Shmos and Kisisa, where he had to use the Shekel Kodesh, couldn't use the head count? Why go to some backwards inference from Sukkim, again, as exciting as those stories might be, in Tanakh? Why bypass the more obvious direct source of the Pasuk and Chumash? Why are the Gemara only quoting in Yuma, again, he's in Yuma, where the only Pesukim that are quoted are either from the story of Shaul or the Pasuk from Hosea? That's the Marsha's famous question. So the Marsha's answer, which is also suggested perhaps by others, is the following. And this alludes a little bit to what we saw from the Ramban a few minutes ago. Marsha says that it could be that the Parsha of Kisisa, and the biblical Parsha of Census, was unique. Because there, when they were in the desert, they were constantly under the cloud of the Chet HaEgel. And therefore, however it works on the cosmic system, which we don't know, and the divine system of justice, but the census, especially through the idea of a shekel, as Rashi and others stress in our Parsha as well, that was constantly in the form of a kapara for the Chet HaEgel. And therefore, perhaps it was so tied into that, that once we moved into other epochs in history, where we no longer, in a more frontal, direct way, looking over our shoulder because the Chet HaEgel, perhaps one would have had a Havamina that the Pasuk and Chumash doesn't apply. And therefore, the Gemara gives stories from Tanakh as the source for that. However, I saw a number of Achronim, for example, you're all familiar with the famous compilation of Agadata, the Ein Yaakov. So in the Ein Yaakov, you have commentaries around the side. One of them is called the Iyun Yaakov. Creative name, Ein Yaakov, Ein Yaakov. If I'm not mistaken, I think the Iyun Yaakov was written by the famous halachist, the Shlus Yaakov, or Yaakov Reicher, I think. But that's easily verifiable. Anyway, he makes a question, which I also saw that Rukhman Fushal Perlau also asked the same question in his commentary to Sefer Mitzvah of Sajigon, which is, listen, we're all Talmidim of Tosfos, that's for a different discussion, but we all learn Gemara like Tosfos, by which I mean to say we look at all Shas as one sugya. So it's legitimate to ask a kasha on one Gemara based on another Gemara. That was basically the Chiddush of Tosfos. Until Tosfos, they learn Gemara that way. That's the Chiddush of Tosfos, but since Tosfos, we all learn Gemara that way. So they ask on the Marsha, if you only had the Gemara in Yuma, maybe you could have thought, we need the Pesukim in Tanakh, because the Pasuk in Kisisa is limited to the Dor HaMidbar. But, now that we also have Masechta Brachos, P.S. it comes first anyway, but even if it came second and third and at the end of Shas, but we also have Masechta Brachos, there, the Gemara explicitly used the Pasuk of Kisisa, about which story? The story of David HaMelech, a generation even later. So it's already clear from Shas that this is not true. It's not true. We see from the Gemara Brachos, it's just not true that the Pasuk in Kisisa, that the census is Sai, Sensai, is that the word? What's the plural of the census? Census. Censuses? Yeah. You don't sound smart saying it. Okay. It sounds like there must be a better way to say it, but you're probably right. The sensai. I like that better. Let's make up a word. Nimnu v'gamru? Sensai. Let's make up a symbol that just means multiple. Anyway. Right, we have a lot of educated people here. Apparently I'm not one of them. Okay. The censuses. We see from the Gemara Brachos that the censuses, even Bizman HaMidbar, even with the shadow of the Eyal hovering over it, those psukim were clearly not limited to that reality. After all, the Gemara Brachos already applies it to the Dor HaDavid. Let's apply it to the Dor HaDavid. What do we need the other Psukim? As the Dor of Shaul. Or, for that matter, from the Dari Doros. You see from that, so they don't like this answer of the Marsha. So if that's not the answer, so maybe we need a different answer. So the Iyon Yaakov on the Ein Yaakov suggests a second answer. Perhaps we needed to give the Psukim of Tanakh because perhaps, maybe from the Pasuk in Chumash, our parsha in particular, as related to Joey a few minutes ago, that's what you're counting really for no obvious reason. But if you're counting for the Tvar Mitzvah, i.e., like the pious, the group of Kohanim in Yuma, maybe there you have a good reason to do it. Not just because I like to count my Jews, I like to count my money. But I need to know to come up with who's going to do the Avodah of the Beis HaMikdash. Perhaps then, I wouldn't have known that from Kisisa, Kamash Malon, from the Pesukim and Tanakh, even then it's Usur. That is his suggestion. Finally, a third suggestion is from the Chida. As you may know, the Chida was one of the most prolific writers in our Masorah. I think he was one of these people who without a good one wrote like 100 Sorim or something like that. He was like the super duper genius. I don't know what he did other than write, because if you wrote your whole life and you didn't take a break, maybe you could do like 50 Sorim. So how did you do 100 Sorim? Is that true? So I don't know about you.
I think the Arachayim.
What about him?
He was a Mashulah for the Arachayim.
He was raising funds. So now I understand with Arachayim, I have time to write his sefer. But how is it the Chidara 10, 20 times more than the Arachayim? He wasn't a good Mashulah. Next time a guy knocks at your door and says, I'm happy to give you, I'm just curious, how many Sfarim have you written? I see. Okay. Anyway, the bottom line was one of his many, many Sfarim that is not even so well known, I think, is called the Ein Zocher. It's quoted by others that are more familiar. Anyway, so the Echida there says that perhaps the Pasuk in Chumash and Kisisa and in Bamidbar was limited to where you were counting the whole Jewish people. You might have had a Havamina that I'm only counting a fraction of the Jewish people. Maybe there's no Isser. I'm just counting my soldiers or something like that. Maybe there's no Isser. Hamash Malon, the Pesukim in Tanakh. No, you can't count even a fraction or any part of the Jewish people. And I want to mention, in light of these two Gemaras, a Chiddush, which I'm not sure I'm convinced of, and therefore I'm not sure I can fully develop for you, but just as a Mar Makom, and to just bring an idea to your attention, I did see that Rav Asher Weiss, this is in the first piece in the Sefer Rambam Midbar, Parshas Midbar Siman Aleph, Rav Asher Weiss suggested a Chiddush that really, when it comes to this prohibition, there are, in essence, two dinim, two different isurim. It refers to different types of counts, and it's the two Gemaras, i.e. Pesukim in Tanakh and Pesukim in Chumash, that relate to the different isurim. Namely, what does he say? It is just like when it comes to positive counting, Sfiras Omer, Sfiras Nida, Sfiras Yovlos, etc. We see, and again, he marshals proof for this in other essays in his Sefer, that there are different types of counting. Sometimes we have a mitzvah to count, and it's the Maisa Minyan, the counting itself, which is the desired desideratum. I gotta use a big word since I messed up the consensus word before. Keep my balance there, my articulate factor there. So that's what we're trying to do. The desideratum is that we want to count. He says, but there's other times where it's not the mice of counting itself as much as the goal is to get to the result. How much do we have at the end? So he says, so too, when it comes to the isser of counting Jews, that's the Shiloh. What's the isser? Is isser the act of counting? Or is the Isser that resulting number, which probably gets to the Ayin Hara issue, which Rashi and Chumash already talks about, which is, you'll say, there's a million, 10 million, 12 million Jews, Ayin Hara, don't put a number on it, you're limiting us, maybe we could be more. So he suggests that perhaps the two Gemaras relate to these two different focuses, namely, the Gemara in Brachos, which is dealing with the story of David HaMelech, focuses on the result. David just needed, he wanted to know for vanity or whatever reasons, he wanted to know how many people do I have in my kingdom. Such an action brings with it Ayin Hara and a Magefa, and potentially a plague. You thought you had so many millions of people? I'm going to bring a plague, Khalilah, and wipe that number down. No, exactly. This is not that chapter. This is not. Which is, right.
Well, maybe it does. Because
Because they were worried about the plague of Chedego.
I want to suggest that maybe the Masa Shekel solves it by making the counting itself a mitzvah. Since you're counting them with the shekel and giving the shekel to Mizbeah, it's kind for Nafshai, so Mela, even though it's the bottom line that you want, it's the number, you got there through a Maisa mitzvah.
You could go there, just to finish the thought. Yeah. That's a fair point. That's not the way Rav Asher Weiss goes, but that's okay. You can. But I just want to make sure we just at least get what he wants to say is, Davka, like Judy said, that's why Davka Brachos did quote the Pasuk of Kisisa. Because in the Chayta Egel, we were hovering over potentially a plague. We were hovering over getting destroyed. And therefore, to avoid that, it's not that there was a new Isser done. It was that to get rid of that plague, or preemptively at least, so we had to count in this right way. And therefore, he says it's Maduyik in the Gemara Brachos. This, I think, is sharp. This, I think, is more important for Asher Weiss. The Gemara Brachos doesn't mention the word Isser. The Gemara Brachos does not mention the word Isser. Don't do it, there'll be a plague. Doesn't say Isser. Why? Because that's the first thing. The whole focus of the count was the result. That's what you're supposed to avoid. Why? Because that's an Ayin Hara. We don't want to focus on these things. And that could lead to problems, just like the Parshas Kisisa was coming to preempt the problems of Chei Deigel. However, Masha Ein Kein, the Gemara in Masech Yuma, referring to the context of the pious in the Beis HaMikdash, there's no sum total. It's not like there wasn't a census. After all, you weren't actually counting. But the count was not true to the number of people b'chalal. Each person might have been counted two or three times. Around and around and around you go until you got to number 148, whatever arbitrary number was counted. So clearly in that census, it wasn't the result, the number, the soph number wasn't the goal. You can't compare that, for example, on the flip side to 49 days of the Omer or 50 years of yoga or anything like that. There was no goal in terms of getting to a number. The number was totally arbitrary. Rather, you see from that if you would have just counted the people to get to the random made-up number of 120, it is just it's the maisa of counting, which apparently was the problem, because there was no goal, which could be the problem. And therefore, he says, that's why that itself is an Isser per se, an Isser minion, and that's why we asked the Shiloh before, Marsha and others, why isn't Kisisa mentioned in the Gemara Yuma? Because Kisisa was talking about a whole different Isser. Which is not even an Isser, so to speak, to be more precise. It was this idea of don't do it because it'll bring an Ayin Hara. But here, we're talking, that's what you're focusing on, sum total, the actual census, getting to a number, a result. But here, where there was no actual number, we're not counting Jews then, we're counting thumbs. And I don't just mean thumbs as opposed to bodies. I mean, it's an arbitrary lottery process, basically. You know, and if they had thought of, you know, if they had pinball, you know, or, you know, some other thing, you know, random email counts. I mean, they could have done blast emails. They could have done that too. It's totally random. But even so, even though you're not counting anything, you're just a hechatimsa to make a lottery, there's still an isser. That's got nothing to do with what was going on in Kisisa, where the focus was on getting to a number to know how many Jews there were. That is his suggestion. Just have a few more minutes. I just want to mention that in halacha, as you know, bottom line is, the way this comes down to us most commonly is the issue of counting a minion. And this, in fact, is discussed by Poskim, the Pri Chodosh, and the Kaf HaChaim, and others in Siman Nun Hei, and Or HaChaim do quote this in the context. And after all, you'll say, but I'm just trying to get a minion. What could be bad about that? The Gemara Yuma says, Yivu L'Dvar Mitzvah, you don't count. The Magen Avram later in Or HaChaim in Siman Kuf Nun Vav, he's very direct. Pashut, there's an Isser to count Jews for any reason, even for a good reason. And therefore, he suggests the Magen Avram says, why do we have to improve on the Beis HaMikdash? It was good enough for the Kohanim. It's good enough for us. Put out fingers. That's Magen Avram's suggestion. Very good, Louis. We'll get that momentarily. I don't have time to go into it, but there is a fascinating tshuva that the Chasam Sofer has back and forth with the author of Shalosh Shklov, the author of the Pas HaShulchan. Those of you who are on the Shabbos Shemitah here, we've been using the Pas HaShulchan quite a bit over the year. It was one of the great Talmidim of the Beis Medrash of the Gra, part of the group that made Aliyah. It was very famous in developing the Mitzvah Satsuyis Baharis literature. So he had a whole discussion with the Chasam Sofer, which is recorded in one of the Tshuvas, about the Marvin Diamonds of the world, the Gavoy Tzedakah. They have all these people who are giving money, all these people who are on the receiving end, unfortunately, the money. They want to count it up. I don't know how many people, the board, the board at the end of the year wants to know, Marvin, how much have we collected, how much have we given out? So he's got to count up. What's the count up? We have 77 people giving. We have 84 people receiving. So the shadow is, can he do it? And the Pasuk Shochet came up with also Tzvei Terem, why it was good. Suffice it to say, the Chasam Sofer is a major machmir in this topic. He goes one by one and says that all the svaras of the Pasuk Shochet are wrong. And then he says, to count, even just on a pinkus, on a list, on a rishum, Chasam Sofer held was usher. You have to figure out some way around that. I'm not saying that that's halacha l'maisa. I just wanted to bring to you, there is that fascinating discussion. And the Ksav Sofer also has a tshuva based on his father, where he discusses this a little bit. L'maisa, the minhag that we have, most common minhag, seems to go back to a comment, really could even be traced back to Rashi. It may go back as early as Rashi, quoted in the Sefer Ora, that one of the ways to do it is to quote psukim. Though it's interesting that the original Makoros quote the Pasuk from Tilim Perakei of Ani Barov Chazdacha. Take a look, Perakei Pasuches, also 10 words. But another interesting thing, which I don't know how this evolved, we have to get back to Lyman from last week. He'll tell us how it all evolved historically. If you take a look in the early Makoros, it was not the way we're familiar with it. Rather, what they would do is some guy would say, Ba'ani, like Barov, Chazdacha. And if we got to the end of the Pasuk, we knew we had 10 people. That is really a tikkun because no one counted. No one counted. Well, it's like a shtick. No one really counted. If the shaila was, if we could complete the pasuk one by one, we knew we had 10 people. That was the original minhag. L'maisa, where does Arab minhag come from? The earliest source I can come up with is the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Kitzur Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tes Vav quotes the famous pasuk of Shia Samacha. Somehow he didn't like the pasuk Perek Hay until him. He quotes from Perek Chav Ches until him. That we go with that. I don't remember, take a look, I don't remember if the Lashon of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch is Meduyak. Was he referring to everyone calling out another word? Or did he already anticipate what we are all familiar with? We have one person counting, just instead of using the word 1, 2, 3, 4, start saying, Hoshiyas Mech Barach Hasach Nasecha. I am very suspect of that minhag, frankly, just because it's some arbitrary, it's all counting. It's just using different, it's using symbols instead of numbers. Shukim said numbers. Which is why, for example, I was really thinking about the whole day today. I happened to be in the yeshiva earlier, and I was speaking with Abba Tzvi Neyman. I asked him if he knew, and he also said it didn't make any sense to him. Where did this not one, not two come from? I have never understood that for the life of me. So I figured, you know what?
If the Shabbos correct.
Okay, maybe that's the mocker. I didn't find any safer that quoted such a thing. I asked him if he knew of any svarim. He said no. And I said to him, does it make sense to you? And he just looked at me. I said, it never made sense to me. What's that? Not one. That's called... That's too clever by half. I'm not sure. So, Sarach Ol Ian, you know, you saw Kadoshim Haim. If so many Jews are doing it, maybe there's a good reason for it. But I don't yet know where it is. If you're looking for any more Marav HaKomis, I'll just let you know. The Tzitz Eliezer in Chelek Zayin, Siman Gimel, has a very important, comprehensive tshuva about this. And the issue of body limbs, which we don't really do so much anymore. What's the advantage of using a thumb or a leg or a who knows what, you know, as opposed to the Gilgal Sum, meaning a head count. So there's a very interesting dispute between the Avnei Nezer and Moshe Feinstein about how that works and in what sense that can be expanded upon or replicated. But either way, I would put this in one of these categories of it. Seems to be halacha, Darabonan, it's still not the Raisa, but Darabonan, Minnag, Ayin Hara. It's somehow a chulent of all of that. But certainly, our Masorah is that we do try to avoid it and to come up with these other ways. You know, the bottom line is we have also divine horror things which sometimes we poo-poo, but this one's got major sources in Tanakh. Forget halachic sources, it's got real biblical sources. It's got Tanakh. And even if we don't understand it, the plagues of David HaMelech and other things should certainly give us pause. And I think this is something that requires respect and reverence, even if we don't always understand exactly why this is so important, exactly why there should be such dire consequences. All right, good Shabbos.